Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. As you've been hearing this morning, there are fewer than 2 months until the statewide primary in Maryland. Over the next few weeks, Maryland Morning is going to be hearing from all the major candidates in statewide races. Next week, we'll hear from those vying for the Democratic nomination for governor. This week, we're talking to the four men who want to reclaim the governor's house for the GOP. Leading the Republican candidates in current fundraising is Larry Hogan. He's a real estate broker and founder and chairman of the watchdog group Change Maryland. He lives in Edgewater in Anne Arundel County, and he's with me now in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Rough traffic this morning.
A little bit of a traffic jam.
You want to talk about transportation policy?
Well, is that a good one to start with?
But what I wanted to start with is, why are you running for this office?
Well, it's an excellent question. You know, I'm not a professional politician. I have not spent my entire life in elective office. I've spent most of my life in the private sector. About 25 years ago, I founded a business. I've brought hundreds of companies and thousands of jobs into the state. But I've always been involved. I've always cared about what's been going on. I'm a lifelong Marylander who loves the state. And I was really concerned that we were way off track and heading in the wrong direction. I thought that the people of Maryland really deserved to have a real clear choice for a change. It wasn't out of any desire to be something, I can tell you that. It was more, I felt an obligation that I needed to do something. So I decided to step up and try to make a difference.
So what would be your top priority?
My top
governor?
Priorities are jobs, middle-class families, and turning around our economy. That's really what I've been focused on. 3 years ago, I founded this nonpartisan group, Change Maryland. Our focus has been on trying to bring fiscal responsibility and common sense to Annapolis. And we've grown into the largest and fastest growing grassroots organization in state history. We have 87,000 people involved. Nearly half of them are Democrats and independents who really feel as if our economy is off track, and we're concerned about trying to create more jobs and more opportunities for Maryland families.
Many people in Maryland may recognize your name. Your father, who is also named Lawrence Hogan, is well-known in politics, representing Maryland in Congress in the early 70s. He served as county executive of Prince George's County. You share a name. How do you distinguish yourself from him?
Well, I'm proud to be his son, I can tell you that. My dad's 86 years old now. He served in Congress back in the 70s, and it's interesting. It's actually 40 years ago he ran for governor of Maryland. So it's been quite a while. Not everybody remembers that, remembers him from back then, but I'm very proud to be his son. You know, he was on the House Judiciary Committee during the impeachment of Richard Nixon, and he was a Republican. He was the first Republican in Congress to come out for Nixon's impeachment. And I can tell you, as a kid, I really learned a lot from him and probably learned more in one day about integrity than most people learn in a lifetime.
What's true about you that wasn't true about him?
What's true about me that's not true about him? Well, he really had a long career in politics. He was a FBI agent and a professor, and then stayed in politics for a long time, was in Congress, ran for governor, was Prince George's County executive. I spent most of my life as a businessman. So I hope that maybe I picked up some of his good qualities. We're very different, and we spent our careers differently. But I did learn from him about the importance of public service and about the importance of paying attention to what's going on in government and politics. And that led me to leave my business for 4 years to go serve as a cabinet secretary in the Ehrlich administration. I wanted to give back and contribute what I could to help the state.
You are a small businessman. You certainly are casting your campaign from that base. You mentioned jobs. What would you do to create jobs in
Maryland? Well, there's really three major problems that have hurt us. We're currently, the most recent ranking show Maryland as the 41st out of 50 states in business friendliness. We're the seventh highest tax state in the nation. And what's happened, unfortunately, recently over the past 7 years is we've lost 10 of our 13 Fortune 500 companies out of the state. We've lost 6,500 small businesses and more than 100,000 jobs. Unemployment is up 76%. So it's the number one priority. We've got to stop the current trend and turn things around. And there are three things we can do. One, we have to change the anti-business attitude. Maryland's got to be open for business. We've got to be welcoming to job creators and people who will come to the state or stay in the state and provide opportunities for our citizens. Two, our tax policy is making it very difficult and is driving businesses, jobs, and taxpayers out of the state in droves. We had the largest mass exodus of taxpayers fleeing our state of any state in the Mid-Atlantic region and one of the worst in the nation. 31,000 Marylanders have left taking with them $1.7 billion a year. So we've got to take a strong look at our tax policy. We don't need to be the cheapest taxes in the country, but we certainly can't afford to be the highest. And third, our regulatory policy. It's got to be balanced, and currently we have an irregular, unpredictable, and constantly changing regulatory policy where people are getting different answers and getting told one thing and then told to do something else. Businesses need to know what the rules are so they can do long-term planning. And we've got to fix all three of those things to start encouraging more businesses to stay in Maryland and more businesses to come to Maryland. That's really my top priority. I mean, everything I do is going to be focused on, what's good for Maryland families? How do we create more jobs? How do we keep more families and businesses in Maryland?
That's Anne Arundel businessman Larry Hogan here on 88.1 Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Hogan is the founder of the watchdog group Change Maryland, and he's running in the Republican primary for governor. You have been less specific on taxes, as from what I've read, than your Republican rivals. Charles Lawler and David Craig have proposed eliminating the state's personal income tax. Ron George proposes eventually replacing it with a flat tax. What specifically would you do with the personal income tax?
Well, see, I'm not a professional politician, and sometimes I think people just sort of make promises that they can't deliver on, and I think people in both parties do that. The real issue is spending. So we can't just eliminate the income tax and have an $8 billion hole in the budget. Which is what I think they're proposing. We've got to get spending under control. Over the past 7 years, since I left the state government when we were running things, the budget's gone up 35%. We've had an increase of $10 billion. National Governors Association said that we increased spending at a rate higher than 46 other states. Only three states in the country increased spending at the rate we did. We've got to get the spending under control. We have a spending problem more than a revenue problem, and you can't cut taxes until you start to cut the spending.
So what would you cut?
Well, we've identified cuts throughout state government. In fact, the federal audits and DLS audits, the Department of Legislative Services, have done audits in agencies that we've totaled them up just recently, and we found $1.7 billion that have been recommended as waste, fraud, and inefficiencies. That's $1.7 billion is a lot of money. It's a good place to start.
Can you tell me one?
Well, the one place we just wasted $300 million on a healthcare website that doesn't work. Where 75,000 Marylanders have lost their health care insurance, I would immediately stop spending on that. The state of Virginia, for example, said they're going to set up our own website. We're going to we have great private sector exchanges, and we have the federal site that you can go to. Virginia signed up nearly four times as many people as Maryland did for our $300 million. So that's right off the bat, we'd stop wasting $300 million on things that don't work.
Let me pursue the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. Yeah. So you're saying that your approach to that would be
My
to continue
would,
to implement it, but to do it on the federal
well, it is,
exchange.
It is the existing law. And, the people that are trying to get on there and trying to get health care coverage are unable to do so because we've failed. It's been because of politics and incompetence we've wasted in Maryland $300 million of our hard-earned tax dollars, and 75,000 Marylanders have lost their health care coverage. So it's an unmitigated disaster. But
and so you're not satisfied with the O'Malley Brown administration's plan to move to the Connecticut software?
I think it's ridiculous. So we're the first state in the country to abandon our website after we spent all that money. Now we're talking about basically renting a site for $60 million from Connecticut. I'm saying we shouldn't spend another penny of state tax dollars. We don't need to get some other state to help us limp along. We ought to just do what Virginia and other states have done. Let people go on the federal site or the private exchanges.
Speaking of money, you talked at one point about taking public financing for your gubernatorial campaign. Now you're not.
No, that's not true. I am.
You are.
We're very much focused on public financing. I think we've run our whole campaign focused on that. We've generated more than 2,000 donations in 70 days from small contributions from people all across the state, from all 24 jurisdictions.
But not enough to qualify for the $453,000
you've
raised.
We will qualify, and we will be the only ones on the Republican side that use the public financing. But we filed our first report after 60-some days in the race. We have another report that comes up end of May, and we're hoping that we will qualify and get the matching funds. It's a great way for grassroots campaigns like ours to compete with the millions of dollars in special interest money.
We're almost out of time, but I do want to ask you. You served in Bob Ehrlich's cabinet. You were appointment secretary. Your running mate, Boyd Rutherford, also served in his cabinet. What did you learn there that you're going to bring with you if you were elected governor?
Well, in my position, in the secretary of appointments, I appointed 7,300 people to all three branches of government. So I learned a lot about every single agency, about the legislature, about the judicial branch. And we appointed the most bipartisan, most diverse, and most inclusive administration in Maryland history. And, you know, I worked every single day with Mike Miller in the All-Democratic Senate, and we had a nearly unanimous confirmation record. So I think I learned how to work with people across the aisle, and I learned a lot about state government.
I appreciate your coming in to talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Larry Hogan, running for the Republican nomination for governor. We're speaking with all the people running for Republican nomination this week. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've been listening this morning. Stay with us on 88.1.